back to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. I'm Ryan Lowry. This is part two of our look at the life of Joseph. Last time we left Joseph at the bottom of a pit, about to be sold into slavery by his own brothers. Today I'm going to look at what happens next, and specifically what happens when you stay faithful to God and things keep getting worse anyway. I think this episode's going to be an honest conversation about something a lot of us are quietly struggling with. So Joseph has been sold to the Ishmaelites, and now he arrives in Egypt. Genesis 39, starting in verse 1, when Joseph arrived in Egypt, the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar. I'm going to redo that. In Genesis 39, verse 1, when Joseph arrived in Egypt with the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, a member of the personal staff of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the palace guard. The Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with him. Potiphar soon put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all his business dealings. And so we begin to see a pattern here, something developing in Joseph's life that's very interesting. He's from this family that has been chosen by God. That family has totally betrayed him, sold him into slavery. And yet it says God continues to be with Joseph. Yes, he used to be the favored son. Now he's a slave, but he's a slave that God is with. And Joseph recognizes that. When he could turn to God and be like, I'm bitter at you. Look at the people you chose, the family you birthed me into. I want nothing to do with you. He stays connected in his relationship with God. Genesis 39, starting in verse 6. Now, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. And about this time, Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invited him to sleep with her. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. His concern with this woman who's coming on to him is that he doesn't want to sin against God, which probably made him a lot more interesting to her. And Genesis 39, starting in verse 10, it says she kept putting pressure on him day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he was doing his work inside the house. She came and grabbed him by his shirt, demanding, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but as he did, his shirt came off. She was left holding it as he ran from the house. When she saw that she had his shirt and that he had fled, she began screaming. Soon, all the men in the place came running. My husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to insult us, she sobbed. He tried to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard my loud cries, he ran and left his shirt behind with me. In Genesis 39:19, we read, after hearing his wife's story, Potiphar was furious. He took Joseph, threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held. So again, we see Joseph betrayed. And all he did was the right thing. You know, if your life you live your life according to God's ways, you often will find yourself in situations where doing the right thing is not necessarily popular. Doing the right thing is not necessarily advantageous at work. It will not always endear you to your employers or to other people. And here, Joseph is doing the right thing by Potiphar. Out of concern for Potiphar and out of concern for continuing to do things God's way. And his circumstances are getting worse and worse and worse because he is being faithful. He's gone from favored son to slave, and the only place lower than slave is condemned man. You ever have that conversation with God? Look, God, I've followed you. I've tried to serve you. I go to all these Bible studies. I tell non-Christians about you. I pray. I give my money. You kind of owe it to me that I have some good fortune in my life. In fact, if you really think about it, God, you're kind of lucky to have me on your team. No, of course, you would never think that way. Me neither. Imagine how Joseph was feeling as his life just spins further and further out of control. We read in Genesis 39, verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph there too, and he granted Joseph favor with the chief jailer. Before long, the jailer put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The chief jailer had no more worries after that, because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him, making everything run smoothly and successfully." Are you seeing a common theme here? Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended him. Now, the baker and the cupbearer were two very important people, essentially the members of Pharaoh's cabinet. Pharaohs were very suspicious people, and the people who handled their food had to be their most trusted people. They didn't want to get poisoned. So the guy who made his food, the baker, and the guy who brought him his food, the cupbearer, these were very powerful Egyptian officials. In Genesis 40, starting in verse 4, we read, "They remained in prison for quite some time, and Potiphar assigned Joseph to take care of them. One night, the cupbearer and the baker each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning, but there's no one to interpret them. So then Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams.'" So every time we see a hint of this, despite Joseph's circumstances, now a years-long ordeal that he's facing because he's done the right thing, he still has room for God in his life. He doesn't come in and say, "I know how to interpret your dreams." He says, "I know God, and if I ask him, he might help me interpret your dreams." Genesis 40, starting in verse 13, it says, "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will take you out of prison and return to you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please have some pity on me when you are back in his favor. Mention me to Pharaoh and ask him to let me out of here, for I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in jail, but I did nothing to deserve it." We read in Genesis 40, verse 23, "Pharaoh's cupbearer, however, promptly forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought." Another betrayal. How many of us have stepped out and tried to help someone in need? How many of us have genuinely used our time, our energy, our resources, our love to help people who seem like they were in desperate circumstances? And then when we come into a time of need ourselves, it seems like no one's there. God says that we should be charitable with others, that we should help people in need. And yet God's people often, when they do that, run into circumstances themselves and find they feel very alone during their times of trial. Joseph has been through betrayal after betrayal after betrayal, and all he's really done is serve, be honest, be truthful, and persevered with God. We read 2 more years would pass from this incident with the cupbearer. 2 more years in prison. It's been 13 years now since Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. A 13-year-long nightmare. Think about what must have been going through his mind at this time. Think about the despair. Yes, it says God is with him, so he got to be the top slave, or he got to be the top prisoner in jail. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it and think, well, that sounds like a pretty sweet gig. It's nothing compared to being the favored son of a blessed family, being with his loved ones, surrounded by his father and his brothers. His life is seemingly being wasted because of the selfishness and the pride and the wickedness of his own family. Imagine sitting in prison year after year, knowing you were accused under a crime you didn't commit. I'm sure during those 13 years, more than once the thought occurred to Joseph, Where is the promise of God? I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Blessing means I get to be in charge of the prison. That's not really what I had in mind when it comes to being blessed. Imagine the hate and the bitterness that could have swelled in your heart as you thought about your brothers continuing their lives in freedom. Imagine the temptation that would be there to curse God's name. These are supposed to be your people, God. These are supposed to be my family. I've done nothing to deserve this. And what have you done for me? Good questions. I'm sure Joseph struggled with these questions. But what Joseph didn't do was quit. He left the door open and he always hoped that God would come through. 13 years, betrayal after betrayal, and all he did was serve, be honest, be truthful, and stick with God. But he didn't give up on the Lord. He left the door open. He always hoped that God would come through. If you're in a long stretch right now where you feel like God's promises aren't adding up, I want you to hold on to that. Don't give up. We'll see what happens next in episode 3. Thanks for listening. For more resources like this, visit www.dwellcc.org.